A new crime thriller surveys the darker side of the border city and is largely a homegrown production. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. The new film Borderland is the latest work of prolific indie filmmaker Andrew Hotta, and the movie will be available to view through several major online sites beginning Monday. I'm happy to have Andrew Hotta back in the studio today to talk about Borderland and making indie films in El Paso. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
Great to have you back. You were in the studio, I think it was in January. We were talking about all the different projects you had going, and Borderland was one of them. I think you were just beginning production on that. Is that right?
No. At the time, Borderland was done, but it was still in festival runs. Yeah.
Okay. So that was a 2017 production that is now ready for prime time.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So you've been going to festivals with the film?
Yeah. We got it into the Swedish International Film Festival.
Wow.
And we got it into Cinema, the Latino Americans Film Festival in Dallas, which was very fun. It was,
did you go to the Dallas?
Yeah, I went to the Dallas one. The
Not
Swedish
Sweden.
One. No, it was, they told us 2 days before, and I
oh,
thought
really?
About it, but no way.
Hop a plane to Sweden.
Yeah.
That's fascinating that a film that's so rooted here on the border. That would have been an interesting thing to see with a Swedish audience.
Yeah, yeah. They gave me the comments, and everyone seemed to like it and even understand it, which was, I mean, you don't, you hope that they're going
to
understand it, but then you think about that
to an international audience. How fascinating. That just gives me a whole new way of watching the film now, is imagining somebody in Sweden seeing it. But that's the world, the global world we live in now for indie film, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Right now, when we release, it's going to be in 67 countries all over the world, which is insane. Like, that's so many countries. I didn't even think, you know, there's that many countries available.
So in 2 days on Monday, it goes up on, is it Amazon and Vimeo?
Yes, Amazon and Vimeo for the initial release. And it's, yeah, like I said, it's in 67. I'm not sure how many Vimeo has, but that's just the Amazon numbers.
So that's 67 country Amazon sites that will have it.
Yes.
Obviously, the U.S. is the main one that we're promoting right now. But let's back up a minute. I think you told me a little bit about the film back in January, but refresh my memory. Take us through the plot and what Borderland is about.
Yes, it's about a girl who she owes a debt to the cartel off of some things that she did in the past. And so they team her up with a person who works for the cartel who they've brought in to find some missing money. And so they just kind of drive around El Paso looking for this money and running into characters and everything like that.
And am I right? Her husband was wrapped up in this too.
Yeah, yeah. Her husband was part of it. And that's why she's kind of found herself
trapped.
Intertwined. Yeah.
Right. And so she's paired up with, you'd call him a fixer, you'd call him an assassin, I guess,
yeah.
A gunman.
We call him the stranger in the
stranger.
In the
credits. He doesn't have a name, I don't think.
No. We wanted to keep it like the old westerns with Clint Eastwood where you
just
don't give him his
blows
name.
Blows into town and
yeah.
Mysterious background. A film like that, obviously rooted here, I know you've talked and written quite a bit about how important it was to root the film in El Paso, and there's a lot of scenery and a lot of places, locales that you see out the window and as they drive around this one night. Talk a little bit about making the film here in your hometown.
Yeah, well, I wanted to, with my first film, The Last Ones, it didn't really matter that it took place in El Paso, and I, you know, my culture is so ingrained in me that I wanted to really have something that showed as much of the culture as we can. And, you know, this movie isn't based on real life, it's not real, but we were able to infuse as much of the Mexican culture and just El Paso eccentricities into it so that, you know, it felt realistic.
Did you, casting and crewing this film up, I think a couple of the cast members are from out of town, but pretty much everyone else involved with the film is right here?
Yeah,
in El Paso?
The main two are from out of town, Joe Sinclitico and Charla Vale Efron. And, but everyone else is specifically from El Paso, and it's cool to work with such local talent and
right.
See them.
You're building a team here.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
You use on every production now.
Yeah, I just find places to stick them now.
How did you attract the two main leads though that you mentioned are out of town actors? How did they find this production, or you find them?
Well, I had been a fan of Joseph Clitico for a long time. He's a comedian in L.A., and I had heard that he was wanting to act. So I just reached out, and then we talked over the script, and he seemed to like it. And Charla Vale Efron, we had been talking about, because she's an artist out of Denver and Nashville, and so we had just been talking about her work, and then I pitched her the idea, and she liked it, and so they both wanted, and it was something where it was small enough for all of us. It was filmed, you know, for $7,000 over 7 days.
Wow.
So it was
7 days.
Yeah, it was very guerrilla. So I think it was, everyone kind of wanted to try and experiment on it.
Fascinating. There's not a lot of comedy in this film. It's, there may be a few nods, but to something humorous, but to have, I think oftentimes comedians make a transition over to acting pretty well because they're used to performing, and for whatever reason, they're actually good at drama.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's why we took the risk, because there was, like, from my producers, there was that, like, oh, he's a comedian. This isn't really a funny. But I think comedians, especially Joe, they can read the audience and they can read how they want people to react. So they're very good about getting a reaction.
Manipulators is what you're saying.
Which is what you need as an actor.
That's right. When you start a production like Borderland, or when you're writing it, I mean, we should mention that you wrote, you directed, you produced. I imagine you did a lot of the crewing yourself. Yeah. You probably went and got hamburgers for everybody in the middle of the night. But when you're preparing for a film like this, do you I know you like genre films. Most of your films are working within the confines of established genre films. And do you go back and tune up by looking at some favorite films in the category that you're about to make? Or are there certain touchstone films that you get inspired by that you go back to right before you start production?
I think it's a mix of both. Like, there's always films that we want to look at with. I always will go back to John Carpenter one way or another.
Oh, of course.
Assault on Precinct 13, which he made similar. But then you look at, like, Terminator or Collateral, kind of those movies that took place at night that they shot on these shoestring budgets. I know, like, for Terminator, James Cameron was always, like, finding ways to, like, cheaply do things and make things better. And we kind of wanted that idea and that feel. So you look at films that you're trying to do. And with this one, we looked a little bit also at Breaking Bad, you know, because it takes place in the Southwest. It was filmed really fast, being a TV show. So you kind of look at all these things. And yeah, you just kind of, you get inspired by the things that you enjoy, and you find similar, you know, styles.
It's interesting you mentioned Collateral, the Michael Mann film, because I thought of that specifically in some of the scenes in this film that are reminiscent of that, where particularly the female lead is having to drive this stranger, this fixer, this assassin around town. And they're not just driving, they're having this extended conversation about what, you know, life and what he does and the consequences of what he does. And he's in the back seat and she's in the front seat. Right. And it reminded me a lot of Collateral and that dynamic that Michael Mann has between his two lead actors discussing what it is they're doing as they drive around all night.
Right, right. And I feel, you know, when you're in a car with someone, especially like in an Uber or anything, it kind of opens you up to be able to talk, and you might not ever see this person again. So some people like lose a little bit of that inhibition and they kind of open up. And we wanted to bring that into that feel, like that feeling of it's two strangers, but they're in such a predicament where they can open up without, you know, really revealing themselves. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was an interesting concept to play with.
And the middle of the night kind of opens us up too,
right? Yeah,
to revealing something, and maybe the fact that these two think that, you know, this is the only time they're going to be together,
right?
And they're going to separate at some point. But the film has some nods, I thought, to Tarantino. Is that an influence when you go into a film like this? You've got some interesting characters that pop in and out, and some title cards in the middle of the film.
Yeah, I think Tarantino was a big influence. And what I really like about him is he makes, you know, Django was a slave movie, but he adds humor into it. Like the Ku Klux Klan scene is funny, you know? And so we wanted to add that because I think it almost makes it more dreadful and realistic when the dark characters make jokes, because it makes them human. And so you don't get to like create this distance between you and the other. It's, oh yeah, he can make jokes too and he can have fun, but he's also a terrible human being.
Interesting, interesting. So they're not monsters, they're just really bad people.
Exactly.
Which in your view makes it even scarier.
Yeah, exactly, because it could be anyone, you know?
Right. When you're obviously making an ultra-low-budget indie film in 7 days, which is amazing, and a film that takes place over a single night in the narrative, you're basically spending all your nights, I guess, shooting all those 7 days.
Yeah, every night.
That's pretty rough on everybody.
By the end of it, everyone was just kind of like, let's get work and let's get out, you know,
right.
You're just exhausted.
What were the main challenges putting something like this together?
Well, I think with this one, it was the time, of course, being I think it was 10 pages we were trying to film a day, which is unheard of. And we kind of had a more loose approach to it. So we would get there and kind of plan out the scenes and plan out the direction. And so you're kind of like working a lot more off the cuff. So you're working with your actors. Like, we blocked it out on set while they were there. Uh-huh. And so it was a little bit, I mean, it's the challenge of doing it not as structured as I'm used to doing it, which made it a little bit more fun. But yeah, by the end of it, we were exhausted. Well,
probably hair raising too.
Yeah.
Is there a lot more improvisational when you're doing something this quick?
Yeah, there is, especially even with the actors, of course, because they're able to add in their jokes. But even with us, one of my favorite shots is someone's tied up and we're on a low angle. And that was just because I was taking a break on the ground and I looked and I was like, this is a really cool angle. Give me the camera. Let's do another take. So a lot of it was like, yeah, it kind of teaches me for the next one. When we did the next one, it just, you're able to open up and like, don't be so strict with the storyboards and the idea, like, give yourself a chance to take some risks.
I wanted to ask you advice for maybe local filmmakers who are listening in today. You've been above average successful in getting your films outside the region, not just to film festivals, but I know that you've got some distribution deals on past films and this film, and the fact that it's going up on Amazon is a big deal. How do you get from where you are to an Amazon streaming launch?
I think the biggest thing is just getting out there. You know, there is the festivals, if you don't get into the big ones like Sundance and Cannes, which you should always go for, don't get me wrong, but is to try to get as many festivals as possible, try to get as many eyes on it. And even then after that, even more, try to get eyes on it. Even if you have to, you know, put it on Amazon, which is a great outlet, put it on YouTube if you have to. Just the more people that see it, the more people that, like, you can tell everyone you're a director all day long, and I've done that. It doesn't mean anything until they can see your work.
But you're not going cold calling Amazon. You're working with like a distributor that is a middleman, shall we say, between that bundles products for Amazon, or how does that work?
Yeah, distributor came up to us because they saw the last one's trailer on Vimeo, and so they came up to us and we showed them the films. They liked both of them, and luckily I had two films at the time, and so from there we actually have a sales rep, and then he took it to a distributor, and now the distributor is getting it out there.
Cool. Very quickly, I know you have some other projects, but your short, The Hound, just made it into the El Paso Film Festival that's coming up in a month.
Yeah. And The Hound is a love letter to the old 30s horror films of Universal. So it was a lot of fun.
Great. Well, I'll look forward to seeing that. And Andrew, best of luck with Borderland as it launches on Monday. Hope you get lots of hits and eyeballs on it.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for coming in today.
No problem.
My guest today has been writer, producer, and director Andrew Hotta, whose new feature film Borderland will be released on the Amazon and Vimeo streaming platforms beginning on Monday. Borderland is a neo-noirish crime thriller about a woman who has to team up with an unknown assassin to solve a mystery in one night. While the film is not rated, it would be considered an R, I think, for language, violence, and adult situations. A final program note, writer-director Ethan Hawke will be in town on Tuesday evening to screen his new film, Blaze, at the Alamo Drafthouse Cinema. The film is an engrossing and masterful biopic about the life and tragic death of country blues musician Blaze Foley. Ethan Hawke will attend the screening, and I'll have a conversation with him immediately following the film. For ticketing and movie information, log on to Alamo Drafthouse El Paso's website. On Film's producer is Lauren Terrazas. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.